take a knee and say, is it our father, they say? Is it
one of the hits?
Yeah. I never understood why this isn't match fixing. If that's what's going on, then why is it not match fixing?
OTB AM, live, weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Okay, so we're at about T-minus 8 days until the GAA Special Congress will meet to decide the future of the GAA Football Championship. There are other things up for grabs and for decision, but the most important thing at the moment on the Special Congress, Clare, is whether or not people are going to vote for Plan B, essentially, at this point. It looks like that's really the only viable option. And Plan B, if you don't know by now, is the league becoming the championship, and it opens up a host of possibilities. We've certainly been advocating strongly that people would consider voting for Plan B. We've spoken all the way back 2.5 weeks ago to Tony McEntee, and we've done something on it pretty much every day. There's about 5.5 hours of material. If you don't know or you're uncertain, or you want to see both sides of the debate teased out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/offtheball. But we wanted to go back today to Conor O'Donoghue, who was part of the committee that actually came up with Proposal A, Proposal B, and obviously the option of staying with the status quo. Conor, you're welcome back to the programme. Thanks a million for joining us again.
Thanks, Chair.
It's been quite the 24 hours. It seems like things are definitely ratcheting up, and we're given to understand that the president himself of the GAA will be making either a public appearance on Monday for an interview, or certainly that there will be a press briefing at some point next week. But last night, the GAA's finance director spoke with the county board finance officers. I think I'm correct in that. Certainly it was a meeting with the various financial people, at which point their finances were made public. Or certainly they've leaked to the public domain. I don't know if they've actually been published publicly yet. And we now know a good bit more about what the GAA thinks will happen when it comes to what would the financial implications of Proposal B going through. For clarity's sake, they disagreed with your estimations, and maybe we can talk a bit about that. First off, what did you make of the figures that became public last night, to choose my words carefully?
Yeah, I think it's really healthy, Chair, that those figures have been put out, and that the guys in Croke Park on the financial side and the provincial side obviously came together and produced something and put it out in the public domain. I think it's good to have this debate. It's good to have an understanding of where the finances lie. It's good to have an understanding of the kind of stretch, etc., that you might need to think about in terms of what one proposal does versus another. I mean, I'm delighted that they're out. I mean, I obviously did something and put something together with a couple of people just based on the fact that there was this gap perhaps in information, and people were asking questions, legitimate questions. We put it out. Our assumptions are up there. They're really detailed, and I'd love to see the assumptions in more detail. Obviously, I've heard some of the commentary around it. I wasn't on the call. But obviously, the assumptions that we put together are up. They're out there. They're very detailed. We understood and understand that when you do that and you put it into the public domain, you do act as a public coconut shy. That's part of what you do, etc. That's the nature of it. I've no problem with that. People questioning the figures. We're in a debate now about that financial side, and I think that's healthy.
Okay, so for clarity's sake, one of the most striking aspects of your estimations were that there's potential for up to 10 million a year extra revenue in attendance alone if Plan B goes through. And just to quickly recap on that, the basis of your figures, it might be better if you tell us what the basis for your figures were rather than me doing it, because I'm going to do a cat-handed version of it, and you're right there. So what were the basis for your figures?
But what we did was the 24 games of the Super 8 were the most commensurate games programmes for Division 1 games that are, I suppose, the championship in the summer. It's all of the, I suppose, the top teams in the country, the Kerrys, the Mayos, the Dublins, knocking heads against each other. Now, the Super 8, I suppose, the issue with the Super 8 was that there was a number of dead rubbers very early, because there's no consequence after if you lose one or two games, etc. But we've decided to run with those figures anyway. So we ran with those figures, which roughly comes at 18,000 for each of those games. That includes some of the games at the very end, the famous Cork Ross Common game, the Dublin Tyrone game, where there was nothing at stake at all for either team. And attendance figures would have been, you know, low, quite a bit lower as a result. We're talking about a competition where there's a place at stake to get into the All-Ireland series. We're talking about a competition where you could get relegated, and that would have serious implications for the team, financially and otherwise. So we don't think that it was unreasonable to do that as a start.
So you built in the dead rubbers. Like that, I think that's important to point out. And just to labour the point, there were loads of those, not loads of those games, but that third round of games didn't mean a lot in many cases. Kildare obviously made the Super 8s after the Newbridge and Nowhere thing. And by the time their third fixture rolled around, there weren't a huge amount of people going. So you've included those figures of those games in your estimations to level out the ones where we did see 30,000, say, in Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney in summer when we saw two teams of equal standing go up against each other.
Yeah, so they're all included. A separate day just went through something and we handballed through a couple of just guesstimated figures based on summer championship attendances for those games. Compared them. The other one was higher, but said, "Look, we'll go with the Super 8 numbers from there." So the second thing we did was the ticket prices for that was 25. So we put a 20 to 25% what way you look at it, a concession discount on it as well to reduce that further. Now, so just to be clear, what Croke Park, and I can go straight onto that if you like, they disagree with that process, and they've come up and said that no, you can't use that. You've got to use the actual National League figures from February. Give a little bit extra. I think they put 20%, but you've got to massively discount that back then. And then they use the 20 euro figure, which is already a discounted figure. And this is my understanding, because I haven't seen anything, unless there's something that's produced, I don't know. And then said, I think an average ticket price of 11 euro, including concessions. So that's the way that they've looked at it, and they're perfectly entitled to do that. And so I disagree. I disagree profoundly. I believe there's much more value in the games program in the summer than has been described. But that's my opinion. These are assumptions based on the future. I've based my assumption based on the evidence. They've based their assumptions based on different evidence, and they're perfectly entitled to do that. There's a debate. I suppose the central part which I took from it was those assumptions that have been forwarded by Croke Park are very, very conservative, I would say, and that's fine. And yet they still arrived at a number that meant that all of the various proposals would run very similar to each other according to what they've said. And that's fine also, but it does answer the question that Brian McAvoy and others asked publicly, and were right to do so. Where are the figures? Show me the figures. Everyone has been shown two sets of figures based on assumptions into the future. Those assumptions are things that are unknowable right now. We base them on evidence that we think is reasonable. And I don't doubt that Croke Park also feel, or that certainly Ger feels, that those numbers that he's gotten from the provincial CFOs, etc., and they would have all sitting down, as I understand, over the last day or two, to go through figures. So they're perfectly entitled to put them out there, and it's up to you or I to argue the case after that.
Okay, so I guess we don't know how many people will show up to matches in the summer between teams of similar standard, apart from the one bit of experiment information that we do have, which is the Super 8s, and it doesn't seem completely unreasonable to use those. It would have seemed...
Can I just come in? There's actually two pieces of information okay. on that. I've got the Super 8. The second piece of information is the provincial hurling championship. And we had a very similar debate, and history invents itself very quickly. It comes back very quickly. People said that when there was no more knockout, it was going to kill the Munster hurling championship. So, I mean, I have Munster hurling championship figures there, and I was interested, obviously, Kieran Leddy, who's also entitled to come out with whatever figures he wants to come out with. So in 2016, the Munster hurling receipts were 1.9 million. In 2019, the last pre-COVID year, there were 4.2 million. So I think that's a second very serious data point that we could rely on. So what they're telling us is that the Senior Intercounty Hurling Championship that brought in 4.2 million, the games in that alone would exceed by €1 million all of the football games in all of the championships, the 112 games. That's hard for me to believe. But listen... Don't everyone has an opinion on that. So it's not one data point. There are a number of data points. But again, this is the future, so we don't know what the future is going to look like. and people are entitled to put whatever figures they want into the domain, and it's up to, as I say, people to debate those then after that.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head what the ticket prices are for those Munster Championship hurling matches, or if they were the same as what the league matches would have been, or if there's actually a step up for Championship matches, and if whether or not people are actually willing to pay a bit more for Championship matches when they understand that it is Championship matches. It does speak to, I guess, some difficulty in terms of the systems and us knowing exactly what the attendance numbers are, and maybe, look, that's an IT conversation for a different day, and even more convoluted than the fixtures conversation to reach at this point. But to boil it down, worst case scenario, if the figures were €11 blended ticket price for people attending, and the attendances were only the same as they were in wintertime in February and March, when the weather's no good versus when the weather is good and you might actually go on your holidays to watch a match. Let's assume that the figures are exactly the same. The money coming from this championship for Plan B would be close to the same as it would be. I think there is more in the GAA's calculations for the status quo, like a slight amount more, but is it significant enough to sway people to the point where, oh no, we can't try this?
No, I think it's a 4% difference or thereabouts that they've come up with. I think that's the number that they've arrived at. Then they've added significantly more for provincial championship games than obviously the league's championship games. Again, they're entitled to make that assumption, and we have to argue the point here, or otherwise, nobody knows what exactly the figures will be for next year. We can only make, I suppose, an argument based on what we know in the past. I've done that. I didn't do it to annoy people, Ger. And perhaps I've done that a little bit, and I'm genuinely not trying to do that. The interest here is the only interest that we have here is to get a vigorous debate as to what's best for the association, for the players, for the supporters, and the administrators, whose role it is, whether they are full-time administrators or they're volunteers, is to serve ultimately the players and supporters. That's what this is about. We've got a problem. We've got a problem for a number of years. We've got to get on now and start fixing it. This is an opportunity to fix it. And we'll never get a better opportunity, in my view. So we have to do it. So those figures are out there. As I say, I'm delighted that we're having this debate. I'm delighted that those numbers are out there. I'm delighted that people can interrogate those numbers themselves and make whatever reasonable judgment they feel is correct or otherwise. And then we can make an informed decision. I think the key thing here, Ger, is that counties were being told, perhaps, that the new proposals would dramatically kill revenues. I don't know how they could justify that argument, but that argument was being made. And I think that's been debunked, whether you think that I'm absolutely sunnily optimistic about the future, or if you think that the other figures that Ger and his team and the provincial guys came together to produce, if you think they're different, they're the right figures, either way, you can have a little bit more comfort that now the numbers have been crunched and have been done.
Okay. One of the arguments that I'm hearing at the moment is that it's nearly right. Cara Kane made this very eloquently, that it's nearly right, but we should put it on pause and come back with something better. I've heard other people say, we actually need to give this more time. We haven't had time to consider it. And then there's a counter argument to that, that it feels that there's a bit of a bang of now or never, that actually stuff that gets beaten doesn't really come back. And the whole notion that we're going to somehow get everybody to agree at some point in the future around an idea that hasn't been thought through just yet, but that people are kind of, oh, I like this idea, but how about we try this other thing? It seems like the now or never thing might actually be more accurate. Is there any comfort that could be given that if this needs tweaks in years 2 and 3, that just gets written in, or there's an amendment from the floor saying this is in for a 3-year period? Is there any way to politically help this to get through?
I mean, the first thing is that obviously it's quite a seismic change in the way that that the competitions are structured and organised. I mean, I can see some tweaks that I'd love to see myself in it. This is a political compromise for lots of people in lots of different things, trying to accommodate all of the various, I suppose, red lines that lots of people have on this championship reform structure. But if we get this through, the tweaks are easy, much easier from here, because clearly the biggest issue has been the demand, I suppose, that everything had to run through provinces and that's it, nothing else. No matter if you're talking about a heavyweight, lightweight, middleweight, whatever else, it's provinces are nothing. So once that demand is off the table, a lot of tweaks, as you call them, and various streamlining things can be done really, really easy, I would say. And again, just to reiterate, the provincial championships are there and they remain there as well. So there may be, I think people appear to be happy with that as a structure, but there's still a demand for a link into the other. And that can, it's very difficult to do that.
It's impossible to do without making a hugely difficult algorithm that feeds into stuff that then ultimately doesn't make any more sense.
So the provincial championships, I think the next group that comes into this, there's a very good chance they'll say, listen, fellas, the provincial championship has had its day. You need to get on with it. And there might be no provincial championship. This is putting in place a structure that enshrines the provincial championship as a part of our competitions for years to come. So the competitions after that, as Cara said, they can be tweaked along the way. And there will be an evolving, consensus about how that might look. But if we get there, it's so much easier from that point. Otherwise, we're going into the twilight zone again. And that would be, I suppose, from a player's perspective and from supporters' perspective, it would be really, really disastrous and disappointing. So we are, I suppose, as that horrible proverbial thing goes, we are, and we've got a moment now that we can take advantage of it. We've gone through a number of the different debates in a vigorous way. We spent the last 2 or 3 years going through this in minutia, and we are now at a point where there's a decision that can be made to transform the way our Gaelic football competitions are arranged for the benefit of players and supporters. We've been talking about it for years. We have to get on with it now.
Conor, good stuff. We leave it there. Thanks a million.
Okay, appreciate it, Ger. Thank you.